a special episode of BulaNetwork.com. On November 30th, 1981, I had a daughter, Renee Marie. You won't likely care about this episode, and that's okay. It doesn't have anything to do with business. It's terribly personal, but today is my daughter's birthday. She was born November 30th, 1981. My tribe has certainly increased because we started out as just two people in our tribe, me and my wife, Rhonda, my wife of almost 36 years. About 3 years into the marriage, we became three with the birth of our son, Ryan. And about a year and a half later, we were completed. We became a tribe of four with Renee. Well, we thought we were complete. And for a long time, we were. And then we gained a son-in-law, and we gained a daughter-in-law, and we gained four children. And so the cycle of life, well, it is the cycle of life. Bula, life is good. I have written extensively about Renee and the impact that she's had on my life. I've put in the show notes, if you care. In 2003, I wrote a note to her that I entitled When a Daughter Marries. In fact, I distributed that open letter to her, to the wedding party at her rehearsal dinner. I wrote about her 26th birthday, her 28th birthday, and her 30th birthday, and posted those on various blogs belonging to either her or her oldest son, Max. Max is now six. Her middle namesake came from the first woman, other than my mother, that I loved. My maternal grandmother was simply known as Ree. Her given name was Bessie Marie Burns. When she married, it became Marie or Ree, R-E, Manasco. Everyone called her Ree. I called her Ree. I was her grandson. In fact, I was her only grandson. Rhonda and I decided to give our daughter her middle name because she was very important in my life, and it just seemed fitting. And frankly, I didn't know of any better way to let this newborn child know her importance to me. Her entrance into the world, well, it changed my world for the better. She learned to talk about the time she learned to walk. And so mobility and communication, they just kind of came together for her like cheese and crackers. I joked once, well, I joked often that she started talking and she couldn't shut up. And in fact, when she was very small, I had made that statement and I hurt her feelings, and I regret that. But I was happy. I was happy that this little girl was so verbal. I was happy that she could speak in complete sentences because other toddlers around, they were just struggling to make guttural sounds. No, she could speak in complete sentences and use words correctly. And she could speak with adults just as easily as she could with playmates. She was a fearless, she was fearless, period, but she was a fearless communicator. She came by it honestly. They say like father, like son, but in my house, it was more like father, like daughter. Now, I couldn't be prouder of my son. And as life has rolled along, I have seen him develop more characteristics like mine. Thankfully, he has emulated the good ones and avoided most of my bad ones. But anybody who knows him and knows my wife will quickly realize that they are much more alike in temperament, in communication styles, and even in appearance. They're both fair-skinned and blondish red hair, while Renee and I were more similar than not. Darkly complected, tanned easily, very verbal, and filled with empathy. Well, before Rhonda and I, as a young married couple, it seems, before we could even catch our breath, the kids were grown and they were married. And it seems like no sooner had we exhaled than here came Max, the first grandson. Jump up, turn around, and just count to three. And now we've got four grandchildren. Easton is 9 months old. Kinsley is 2+. Jake is 4.5. Max is 6. Three girls, or three boys rather, and one girl are our grandchildren. The Bible depicts life, well, it depicts life in a variety of ways, and they're all depicted as very brief. Probably the most commonly known is life as a vapor. Vapor that appears for just a brief while, and then it's gone. And the older you get, the more you find that to be true. About 10 years ago, Renee had been married, I guess, about 6 months or so, and I had pulled up to my favorite lunch joint for some solitude in the middle of a work day, because my habit was to go to this place, eat alone, buy a USA Today newspaper, and just kind of sit down and break the day up. I had just pulled in to the parking lot, and the cell phone rang, and the caller ID was Rhonda. Renee's had a wreck, she said. I don't remember anything else that she said. I only remember putting the car into reverse and driving as fast as I can, and I can drive pretty fast, straight to the hospital. I rush into the emergency room, and I found Renee sitting up on the examination table. She was still in her clothes. She was disheveled and appeared to have some black burn type marks on her. In fact, she looked a little bit like a chimney sweep. I found out it was the result of the airbags. The propulsion that makes those airbags open is basically like a minor explosion. Her back was hurt, but she was alert. She was talking. She was sitting upright, and I could not have been more thankful. I thanked God that she was alive and by all appearances was in pretty good shape, except for some burns on her hands from where the airbag had exploded in her face. She was sore, but man, we knew that she and we were blessed. An 18-wheeler had passed her on a major highway, clipped her fender, spun her out, driving her Honda Accord headlong into a concrete median divider at highway speeds. The trucker kept going until some other cars chased him down, forced him to stop. I mean, either the man had no idea what he had done or he didn't care, but he changed our lives forever. I will tell you that it's good that I don't know who he is, because the temptation to put a major hurt on him would be really strong. I'm a Christian, and I'm not given to violence, but if I were not a Christian, well, it's just good that I am. It's good that I am on a whole lot of fronts. Over time, we'd learn that she was more injured than we first thought. The damage wasn't, you know, it wasn't so much visible. And so I guess that made dealing with it and understanding it more difficult. I know it certainly made it tougher for folks to understand, and I think it still makes it tough for folks to understand. Her back was jacked up. She had major leg pain. Doctors didn't prove terribly helpful, at least early on, and I quickly realized there's a reason you see so many back doctors. There are a lot of people that have back pain. And by the way, I don't trust most of these men or women. Neither does Renee at this point. No, I don't think that they're all bad. I don't know that many of them are bad. Inept, maybe, but that's a story for a different day, because today is her birthday, but her story would not be complete without you knowing this life-changing event that happened. Now, I don't know what it is to be in chronic pain, even at my age. I have some chronic pain, but it's not, you know, it's just pain you get because you're growing older. I can't possibly relate to any pain that she has endured. Well, a few years roll by, and she gets pregnant and gives birth to their first son, Max. Max is now 6. So she's had the wreck, and she's had the physical ramifications of that. The pregnancy takes a bit of a toll physically as well. And probably takes a bigger toll, to be very candid, you know, mentally. She didn't know it at the time, but she suffered postpartum depression. She'd never experienced that before. We certainly had never experienced or dealt with that before. And so life was increasingly growing more complex and more difficult in a lot of ways. And now with a newborn. And then it would be a couple of years later and she would give birth to their second son, Jake. So a major car accident, giving birth to two sons. And here we are today, and she is 32, and I am proud to say, coming out of the tunnel. So often life is a tunnel. We enter it because, well, there's just no other option. You know, we move forward. We can't stand still. And so much of life is just made up of having to grind it out. She's had other difficulties in life, more secret difficulties that it certainly isn't my place to divulge. But suffice to say, some things that happened to her that were not her doing. She's been victimized, if you please. And life victimizes us all in one way or another. But it's different when it's your little girl. It's just different. And would that I could go back and would that, you know, would that I could do what I see my wife doing with the grandchildren now when they fall or when they scrape a knee, you know, to make it all better. And you realize that as life goes on, there's so many things that you really can't make better. And maybe you can improve them and maybe you can help someone with their outlook on those problems, but there are just many things that they just can't be fixed. They can be dealt with. They can be coped with. They can be endured. I know that we would all like to overcome all the difficulties and all the problems and all the things that we've been victim to in our life. Yeah, we would all love that. But it's just not always possible. And so we do the best we can, and we move forward. She's doing much better these days, managing the pain. You know, most people, you hear a lot of stories of painkiller addiction, and that really hasn't so much been a problem for Renee. She has fought against taking pain medication. If anything, she probably went too much the other extreme. She would wait until the pain was so severe that the pain medication wouldn't do much good. And then she'd end up in bed for 2 weeks. Eventually, I don't know, it's been more than a year now. It's been a couple of years. She's been on a pain patch, which is, you know, kind of a medical device that allows pain medication to just ease into your system kind of on an ongoing basis. These things have various strength levels, and thankfully hers right now is it's moderate. It's not high dosage. It's moderate. But she didn't fall prey, thankfully, to constantly popping pills. No, her challenges, frankly, have probably been more mental than anything, and it has instilled in me the reality that so much of our life and so much of the quality of our life is determined by what goes on between our ears. But I've always known that, and Renee has always known that, and I've always talked with her about that, even from the time that she was small. When life was fine and reasonably problem-free, at least for a child. You know, sitting down or crouching down before her on one knee and talking to her about self-confidence and telling yourself that you can and having tenacity and having determination, things that have historically characterized her life, by the way. But life is fragile. And today, in addition to wishing her a happy birthday, I would wish for you the realization that life is fragile and you need to make good use of whatever time you've got. And truth be told, we don't know what time we've got, so we just got to do the best we can. Now, I know that it's not practical and it's not realistic that we're going to hang on every minute of every day. You do what I do. We fritter away time. We stare into a 3-inch screen when we've got loved ones sitting right across from us, and you and I both know that there will come a time when those loved ones will not be within arm's reach, and we will have wished that we didn't have our face buried in a 3-inch screen. But, alas, we're buried in a 3-inch screen. I mean, what are you going to do? Cling on to people? No. That's not realistic, and we all understand that. But at the same time, for me to look back and realize that about a decade ago, an incident happened, and I'm thankful that it went as well as it did, this car wreck. And to have thought that this would have so altered the course of her life and would have so presented so many incredible hurdles and obstacles and challenges, and yet we're not alone. This isn't a whine session. This isn't a day of, well, whoa, look at me. And aren't we plagued by all the terrible things in life? I think about it very often, and the thought is very simply this. We think we know, but we really don't know. We take a look at other people and we think we know their story. We think we have them sized up. We think we have them figured out. And so many times we don't know anything at all. I did a post here. Go back and look. I don't remember what episode it was, but I talked about three women. And those three women were Carrie Wilkerson, Ray Hoffman, otherwise known as Sugar Ray, and Lynn Terry. I didn't single out women for any particular reason. It's just that these three women have distinct stories. And people can observe them and their online presence and think, we've got them figured out. Hip, hip, hooray for them. You know, they're popular, they're successful in their particular endeavors and niches, and that's great. But they've got stories to tell. They've got stories of tremendous adversity, tremendous challenge. Now, I don't suppose that they're succeeding necessarily because of the challenges, but I bet you they could almost argue that they are, because there were these compelling drivers behind what they did. There were these things that fueled their tenacity, fueled their determination, and I'm beginning to see that, you know, in my daughter. And my prayer for her and my wish for her is that not only on this, her birthday, but on future days to come, Lord willing, that she'll be able to deal with this adversity and these challenges in her life and use them as fuel for some things that otherwise just might not have been possible for her. And I think she's got that in her. In fact, I know she's got that in her because I've seen it. She has seen it. She's felt it. This was a child who had just incredible determination and grit. And as a father, you know, it pains you to see life try to rob some of that from your daughter or your son, but it happens, you know, it happens to us all. I mean, I would be less than honest to tell you that life hasn't robbed me of some tenacity and get up and go. I mean, that's what life does. Life, just the sheer presence on the planet grinds us down. It grinds us all down. But we're not meant to live forever, not here. And she knows that, and I know that. we just want to make the best of the time that we've got, because she's now got people in her family that are, you know, very important to her, and she's very important to them, and it transcends her mom and I. The tribe has increased, and her responsibilities in the tribe, they've increased along with it. You know, there's nothing special, I don't guess, for most people about a birthday. As you get older, it just seems like it's just another day. But, you know, for the people that brought you into the world, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And you can't help but hearken back to, you know, the first time that you saw her and the thoughts that went through your head, and the reality hit you that not only are you a father of a son, but now you're the father of a daughter. And for those of you that don't have daughters, and ironically enough, my daughter doesn't have a daughter. And that's okay. And we're blessed to have Max and Jake, but there's something unique and there's something different about a daughter, at least for me. Can't speak for everybody. I only know my own experiences, but there's just something different about it. Not saying better, just different, very different. And I'm very blessed and very fortunate to be the father of a son and to be the father of a daughter. And no, I wouldn't trade for all the tea in China either experience. My hope is, as she embarks now on the beginning of her 32nd year on the planet, my hope is that it'll be one of the best years of her adult life. And I think it will. I think it can be. I think she's pretty determined to try to make it so. She's married to a good man, and she's got two ridiculously bright little boys. And, you know, we couldn't be happier. We live within a mile or two of one another. And my son and his family live within a mile or two of us. So here we are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area together. And this is our tribe, and this is who we are. And today is kind of her special day. So happy birthday to Renee Marie McAllister now. Yeah, that's a story for a different day. There's something about a dad that has to surrender his daughter's last name, but it's as it should be. I don't have a problem with it now. I had some sentimentality attached to it when she got married, but that's been a decade ago. So, you know, in 10 years, you learn to build a lot of bridges and get over them. Do you have a daughter? Do you have a son? Well, I hope you do. And I hope everything is well with you and with them. And I hope not only do they make a difference in your life for good, but I hope that you decide and you determine that you're going to make a difference in their life for good. I'm still working on it. That's still the project at hand. And that's what I'm all about. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Bula, BULANetwork.com. Bula is a Fiji term. It means life is good. Today and most days it is. And I hope yours is. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, from a place that I call the Yellow Studio.